Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to clear to play and get into Dr. Feely. Let's go out to the River Island guest line because it's time for Clear to Play, where we take you inside the tent and get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF's Health on this segment and bring on Dr. Feely. And Doc, how are you today?
Pretty good. Happy holiday, guys.
Happy holidays to you as well. First things first, I want to get into Dre Greenlaw and sort of what's going on with him, because obviously he tore the Achilles last year in the Super Bowl, has been out the entire season and was so good. In fact, Kyle Shanahan said he was the best player on the field defensively for a half against the Rams and then had some discomfort, but then did start against the Miami Dolphins and then quickly was pulled from that game because, again, of another flare-up. Where's he at and what's going on with him medically, Doc?
Yeah, I think when you look at his injury last year, it was kind of a fluke injury. He tore his Achilles, literally just jogging onto the field. And this is the other side. It's a calf strain, so it's a different part of the muscle. This is, if you feel where your Achilles is, you go almost 5-6 inches up into the muscle belly. That's where this injury is. I think they're just being safe and conservative. Unfortunately, with them eliminated, there's no real reason for him to play. It would be nice to say we still have a shot if we win the last two, but there's no reason for him to risk injury, to risk further damage. So I think you just shut it down for the year and get him 100% for next year.
Did he do it on a particular play aggravated, or this is it because it was torque? What in your professional opinion, what aggravated it? Was it a play or just the fact that he's overcompensated? What is your opinion on their thought?
Yeah, we typically see these in during the preseason. So this is probably because he hadn't played in a long time. So I think the best example is Joe Burrow. The example that most people remember is Joe Burrow last year. He had a calf strain at the start of training camp, and it kept him out for 3-4 weeks. He was even in a boot. This is different than Achilles tendonitis like CMC has had this year. So this tends to be an early season injury as you're ramping up in reps, and that's exactly what he did. He went from ramping up during the season but not really playing any games, and he was then the best player on the field, which takes a tremendous amount of energy. His muscles probably weren't quite ready for it, just like we would see in the preseason. And if this was the preseason second game, we'd say, hey, we'll shut him down and get him ready for the regular season. But since it's the end of the season, we can't say that.
Cleared to play with Dr. Brian Feely. And Doc, when we talk about Trent Williams and the offensive line, he's got the bad ankle injury and he's been shut down for the remainder of the season. Just sort of theoretically, for big guys like that, how difficult is it to come back from the sprained or the bad ankle, rather?
Yeah, I think for any tall and big athletes, we see this particularly in the NBA and in offensive and defensive linemen, you know, your ankle is a relatively small joint that takes a tremendous amount of force. So chronic ankle sprains like Trent has had are going to play a toll. And he's had one off and on for the last couple of years. It kept him out of a few games last year. And I think it's the same thing. If we were in the playoffs, he plays. You can tape him. You can rest him during the regular, during the week. But without anything to play for, a person at that caliber, you rest him and get him ready for next year.
What about Banks? When you think about the offensive line, guys are dropping like flies. What was the injury? Is it something he could play if it was playoffs at still at stake? Or is this something you say, hey, foregone conclusion, he'd be out no matter what?
I think, you know, typically with Banks's injury, you're looking at about 4 weeks anyway. On average, with these types of injuries, you're looking 3 weeks maybe for some athletes, but on average across the NFL, it's a four-week injury. So in best of circumstances, like last year, we had a bye. He'd be out for the last two games, have a week off, and maybe play in that first game. So I think as soon as that injury happened, it was a foregone conclusion. He's out no matter how thin the line is.
Doc, what's the latest on Isaac Guerrero and his hamstring?
Well, since I don't treat him, I don't know what the latest update is. Typically with mild hamstring strains and explosive athletes, these are 2 to 3 week injuries. It's hard because he obviously wants to play. He wants to be out on the field. But at the same time, the worst thing you can do with a hamstring injury is re-injure it, because that takes something that's going to be a few weeks to get better to several months. And my guess is he wants to have a good offseason. He's definitely solidified where he is in the pecking order, and he had a great season. So if I were him and I were the training staff, I want him ready for next season more than anything else. So they'll wait for him to be 100%.
Doc, on a personal note, and being a bit selfish here, so I like to swim in the San Francisco Bay, and I've developed an impingement. How in my stroke, I've never been in more pain in terms of my right shoulder. What do you recommend?
So the weird thing about swimming is it's not a good rotator cuff strengthening exercise. You use all deltoids and all lats. So when people swim a fair amount, they tend to get their deltoids strong. Haven't seen you in person. I'm sure you have huge strapping deltoids. You need to do the rotator cuff exercises to back it up. So band work, internal and external rotation, that helps pull your shoulder down. And then unfortunately, the other thing is rest. And sometimes it just takes 2-3 weeks of rest to let everything calm down.
Man, that was precious right
See,
there.
Doc, gave it to you. Doc, you usually charge for that. You gave that to him for free. I already did that, Doc.
I didn't say the bill wasn't in the mail.
Okay, there we go.
Dr. Brian Feeley, thank you so much for joining us.